This very day, Christ turns around, looks you straight in the eye, calls you by name, and says, come follow me. Make yourself useful.
Hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Keith Fry and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, September 8th, 2019. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is a reconciling in Christ congregation. We welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. Come join us Sundays at the corner of Sherman and Lake in Evanston. And now, here's Pastor Keith Fry.
And grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here, make yourself useful. Those were the words that my very first boss, Jack Lane, would bark at me and at all the other employees at Eckerd Drugs back when I was 15 years old. They were usually accompanied by a dust mop being thrust into your hands, or a roll of paper towels and a bottle of Windex. His other favorite expression lanced your way as he strode past, glaring at you out of the corner of his eye, was, "You got time to lean, you got time to clean." Jack was actually, I never would have called him Jack. It was always Mr. Lane. He was a gruff former Marine drill sergeant, and he had recently returned from Vietnam. And he had, on top of it, an East Coast accent, which added to the imperative quality of his communication. And he had this big, bushy 1970s mustache. But his laser focus was on responding to the needs of the customer. And you know, only rarely did I resent him telling me what to do, because I knew that under that gruff exterior was a man who genuinely loved and cared about people, who cared about his customers and his employees, and I knew that those barked commands were coming from someone whom I admired and loved, and who loved me back. So they didn't feel harsh or coercive to me. There was relationship there that made the hard words acceptable. Plus, he actually made me feel useful, even as an awkward teenager. He made me feel as though somehow I was contributing to something that I was part of along with him. I took on his perspective of concern for the customer, welcoming them as guests. You know, we all want to feel useful, I think. We all want to feel like our lives have purpose and meaning, and that we're somehow making a difference in our world, that we're doing something. It's not often that we get to say that we've read an entire book of Scripture in worship. But in that first reading, we heard almost the entire book of Philemon, except the last three verses in which Paul says, "Get a guest room ready for me when I visit next," and add several, "Oh yeah, so-and-so says hi, greetings." It's a very odd little book in a way, and because it's a very personal letter that the Apostle Paul writes to a friend and brother in Christ. There's not much theology in it, basically none. When we read it, we're reading somebody's old correspondence as though we've come across it in a trunk up in the attic and are trying to figure out the circumstances surrounding the letter based on clues in the text. Basically, it's a letter that Paul is writing from prison in Ephesus to a friend and fellow Christian named Philemon, who is a wealthy man in Colossae. Both cities are what is now modern-day Turkey. The local church that Paul had started in Colossae is continuing to meet in Philemon's house. Now, it seems that Philemon has a slave named Onesimus. We don't really know what has happened, but for some reason, Onesimus has run away. Maybe he had stolen something or had gotten sideways with his master for some reason, or had been beaten for not doing his job, or was just fed up with being a slave. We really don't know. We do know that Onesimus had not been a particularly helpful slave, because Paul says to Philemon, formerly he was useless to you. And it's kind of ironic because the name Onesimus, which is a slave name, the name Onesimus literally means useful. But whatever it is that he has done or not done or that has happened to him, Onesimus has fled to Paul for protection, kind of like Ali Ali Oxenfree. Because in the Roman Empire, a slave owner had the right to kill a slave who had run away. But slaves would sometimes run to someone who might have influence with their master and ask for protection until things could get sorted out. And the owner could not do much about it as long as the slave was under someone's protection, as long as that person had higher status than the owner did. So here's Paul sitting in prison, and this runaway slave has journeyed some 125 miles and suddenly shows up on his doorstep at the prison offering to serve him, and apparently also hoping that Paul can intercede for him with his master Philemon and work things out for him. While he's there, Paul has become very fond of him, and Onesimus has become a believer in Christ Jesus. And apparently in the process, Onesimus has been dramatically transformed and has become like a loving son to Paul, serving him out of love, not obligation, to the point that Paul wants him to stay and continue being Paul's own servant instead of sending him back home. And in developing that relationship, Onesimus has become useful to match his name. This change has come about not through fear or coercion, not out of being commanded to shape up, but through Paul's loving acceptance and welcome of somebody who, by the reasoning of that social context, didn't deserve that kind of treatment. Paul loves Onesimus into becoming a follower of Jesus. Paul treats Onesimus like his own son. And in that loving relationship, Onesimus discovers what it means to be useful to others. Onesimus discovers faith and discovers relationship. And in those discoveries, learns to be useful. Now, this is not about Onesimus learning to be a good boy, to be a docile, obedient slave to his master. It's about him discovering a new way to relate to people and thereby learning to find usefulness in serving. So Paul sends him back to his master and sends him back to be useful, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ who will work alongside Philemon, serving not only Philemon and his household, but others as well in doing the good works that Christ calls us to do. Paul reminds Philemon that he, Paul, has the right to command Philemon to receive Onesimus back and not punish him. But instead, Paul chooses to appeal to him in love, avoiding coercion. See, it's all about responding to relationship and then finding our usefulness to one another. This life we share in Christ is all about relationship with other people. It's about becoming brothers and sisters, and it's about becoming useful to one another and to our neighbors in the world. We are Onesimus. There's a very important verse in the letter that I want to repeat to you. It says, "I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good we may do for Christ." For the Apostle Paul, our faith becomes effective only when we begin to figure out the good that we can do in Christ's name. Faith that just sits around in isolation, unconnected to other people, is faith that really isn't worth much. We discover our usefulness in developing loving relationship with one another, relationship that makes us desire more than anything to be useful and to serve one another. Now, in that gospel reading, when Jesus turns and speaks to that crowd following behind him, he's not delivering those words, I think, as a harsh requirement, even though that's how we may hear them. All his talk about hating your family and all those dear to you and giving up all your possessions is not a threat. It's not coercion. Those are words of stark honesty, words that are delivered in the context of relationship. Jesus says to us that we are to look at relationships in a new way, to look at our possessions in a new way. And we are to look at a primary relationship that is now based in our relationship with Christ himself. This Christ who has a passion for the work of the good news in transforming the world. Our relationship to our belongings and our possessions, our money, that has to change as well. Christ is calling us to come follow him, but is letting us know up front that this is a costly path. But it's a path that leads to life and to wholeness through service to one another and to the world. In finding that desire to be useful to our master, to be useful to our neighbor, no matter what the cost, we will be choosing life and choosing to live life more abundantly. We follow Christ no longer as slaves, but as friends, as sisters and brothers, as joint heirs of the kingdom. So, sisters and brothers, how is Christ calling you to be useful? Is it by coming to God's work, our hands this afternoon, to do projects to serve others, laboring alongside our Catholic and Lutheran sisters and brothers for the good of our community? Is it by helping with the farmer's market when it starts back up in November? Is it by helping to make quilts? Is it by cooking or serving or cleaning at Cafe Emmanuel? Is it by helping with the warming center that we'll be hosting this winter? Is it by leading in worship or in another ministry of the congregation, or by helping to support one of our ministries? Is it by giving more of your time and possessions to support the work given to us in the kingdom of God? Is it by helping to maintain the building and grounds where this assembly gathers to worship and to do our ministry to the world? Is it by calling or sending a card to a shut-in or to someone who needs a word of encouragement or thanks? Or by sending an advocacy postcard to promote justice? Remember that Paul himself in prison couldn't do much except write letters, but those letters changed the world. Is it maybe by proposing new projects for things that you feel the Spirit is laying on your heart things that will be useful to the life of this assembly and the life of the world? Is it by committing to pray daily for the needs of others? What will make you a useful servant? How is Christ calling you to take up your cross and follow? This very day, Christ turns around, looks you straight in the eye, calls you by name, and says, "Come follow me. Make yourself useful." Now, I guess as your pastor, I could order you in Christ to do these things, to make yourselves useful. But instead, I'm going to appeal to you on the basis of loving relationship. For the love of God's kingdom, for the love of this assembly and your sisters and brothers in Christ, for the love of the world that God loves so passionately, for the love of our neighbors, I appeal to you to open yourselves to being changed and transformed by coming to know and love Christ more and more, and by coming to know and love one another more and more, and to make your faith effectual by finding your usefulness and service to Christ and for Christ. Our hands and our hearts, transformed and empowered by God's Spirit, that is what God asks of us. Nothing less than our whole lives. So make yourself useful. There's a lot of work to be done. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. And again, we welcome you to come join us for our Sunday service each week at 10:30. The Emmanuel Lutheran Church is located at the southeast corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Thanks for listening.